Welcome to Honey from the Rock, a podcast devoted to Bible exposition. My father, Jack Christensen, preached expositionally for over 50 years, first as a missionary to Pakistan and later as a pastor in New England. His legacy lives on in me. He often began his sermons with a little expression, and now a little honey from the rock, taken from Psalm 81, verse 16. The psalmist wrote, "I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you." Today, more than ever, we need to feed our souls on the words of God in the Bible. The crying need of the church is for God-centered, word-explaining messages. So now, my friends, a little honey from the rock. Peace Valley Baptist Church possessed a rather ironic name in view of the constant conflict they experienced. The members fought over the building of an educational wing, paving the parking lot, adding air conditioning, hiring a youth pastor, selecting worship music, or calling and dismissing pastors. Other churches in the area referred to Peace Valley Baptist Church as the Battling Baptists. One member of the church defended the church's reputation this way: "We take our church so seriously that we are ready to fight on any issue." The late pastor Leslie Flynn told that story in his book entitled Great Church Fights. The book was revised and updated under the title When the Saints Come Storming In. One of Satan's most effective strategies to destroy Christianity is to provoke Christians into family feuds. There is an old ditty that goes, "To live above with saints we love, that will be grace and glory. To live below with saints we know, that's another story." James has just explained the difference between worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom in the end of chapter 3. The distinguishing characteristic of heavenly wisdom is peacefulness. Now he moves on to talk about church fights in James 4, verses 1 through 3. He writes, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." James raises a question about quarrels and fights in this verse. The question in the Greek text expects a yes answer. In other words, these quarrels were already taking place in the church. The words refer primarily to verbal fights and not battles fought with physical weapons. James is talking about disputes among Christians, and he says that the source of strife is lust. To put it more broadly, the pursuit of pleasure is a source of strife. One source of conflict is lust. The word translated as lust is the word from which we get our English word hedonist. A hedonist is someone who lives for pleasure. So we might say that lust is the pursuit of pleasure. Lust is not merely some dirty old man watching pornographic movies. That image of lust lets most of us off the hook. Lust is the pursuit of pleasure apart from God. It is not that pleasure is sinful any more than money, for example, is sinful. It is the love of money that is sinful. So it is the love or pursuit of pleasure apart from God that is sinful. Furthermore, the pursuit of pleasure is a source of strife. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members, James writes. Church fights start with us. Our pleasure-seeking attitudes produce conflict. We're selfish. We want our goals, our agendas, our solutions, our objectives, and our pleasures. So we fight to get what we want. James gives us four characteristics of the pursuit of pleasure that breeds strife in the Church of Jesus Christ. Number one, the pursuit of pleasure produces selfishness, verse 2. It produces selfishness. James writes, "You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." The Phillips translation puts it this way, "You crave for something and don't get it." There is a war going on inside each of us. It is a war that tears us apart sometimes. The expression in verse 1 that these pleasures wage war in our members probably refers to the members of our human bodies. Our human personalities involve a terrible internal war. We are at war with ourselves. The word for lust used here is a different Greek word than in verse 1. This word means to crave or desire something. Our internal cravings or desires, which no one else sees, by the way, can and will destroy us if we let them. Calvin Miller calls lust a cannibal committing suicide by nibbling on himself. We crave things that we cannot have, and that eats away at us like a cancer until we are miserable Christians dying a death by degrees. The best word to summarize this inner war is selfishness. Self-gratification or self-love will destroy us and others around us. Our yearnings to please ourselves and our cravings for self-gratification spill out into our relationships with other people. We become destructive achievers. The more we want, the more selfish we become, and the more selfish we become, the more miserable we are when we don't get what we want. That is why James says that the pursuit of pleasure produces frustration, secondly, in verse 2. I like the way the King James Version punctuates verse 2. They put a semicolon after the words, "You lust and have not." Then they start a new phrase that reads, "You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." Now, remember that the original Greek text did not have punctuation marks. Those are inserted by editors, so we have to figure out how to punctuate this verse. I think the point is that our cravings produce selfishness so that all we can see is our needs not being met. We aren't getting what we want. These selfish cravings ultimately produce so much frustration that we begin to take it out on other people. James gives us two ways that our frustrations demonstrate themselves. The first way is through hate. Hate. The expression "you kill" obviously could be taken literally to mean murder, physical murder. All murders stem from the war within ourselves. All wars between nations arise from the frustrations of people not getting what they want. So, what do? They go to war to get it. However, it's better, I think, to take this as a figure of speech for hatred, not physical murder. James is writing to Christians, and it seems unlikely that Christians were murdering other Christians, although that's not impossible, of course. James has already used very strong words in verse 1, which could also refer to physical warfare, but likely refer to internal warfare. Jesus, in Matthew 5, 21 and 22, taught that hatred was potential murder. The Apostle John, in 1 John 3:15, wrote, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." The word kill that James uses is meant to startle us into seeing how serious our attitudes are in the eyes of God. We can become so angry, so frustrated and bitter that we wage hate campaigns against our enemies in order to satisfy our goals and desires in life. People become goal blockers to us. They block our goals. We can't get what we want, so we start a war of words against them to get our way. Our outward behavior demonstrates an inner hate. So hate is one way we vent our frustrations. The second way is envy. James says, "You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." Envy is proof of our inner frustrations. We want that promotion at work. We don't get it. Someone else does, so we envy them. We want our church to be more successful than the other church in town, but they grow bigger and we don't, so we envy them. We want that nice house or car that our neighbor has, so we envy him. We become consumed with envy, which slowly eats away at us inside until we become bitter, mean-spirited people who lash out at others. All of this selfishness, all of this frustration, eventually produces open hostility with other people. We see the third characteristic of the pursuit of pleasure at the end of verse 2. The pursuit of pleasure produces hostility. James says, "So what happens? You fight and quarrel." James returns to the question he raised in verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? And he uses the same two words that he used in asking his opening question. So we see a progression of thought in these verses, which explains how the pursuit of pleasure is a source of strife, of conflict, of fighting and quarreling. First, we want what we do not have. We crave things or pleasures or success. Sometimes we dignify these cravings by calling them needs. We crave these experiences, these supposed needs that we have that are not being met. And then second, we become frustrated, angry, and jealous when we don't get what we want. Social media, of course, feeds this frustration because we look at others who seem to have what we want, and that makes us jealous, leading to frustration. Third, we are always fighting and competing for a bigger slice of the pie, both individually and corporately. We envy others who have more. Bigger churches, bigger schools, better jobs, more money, nicer homes, more respect, more toys, and more vacation trips. Strife results from all this frustration and competition with others. So, we fight for our rights and our needs and our pleasures. We develop an us-and-them mentality. Other people, or politicians, or leaders, or circumstances, become goal blockers, leading us to quarrel with others because they stand in the way of achieving what we want. There's no middle ground in our battle. We take no survivors in this competition of desires. This is what I call redneck Christianity. Winfred Moore, a Southern Baptist pastor, once said, "My grandfather used to tell me, there isn't anything in the middle of the road except a yellow line and dead possums." Well, my friends, this is the world's wisdom at work in our hearts. It is survival of the fittest in a dog-eat-dog world. Unfortunately, too many Christians and too many Christian organizations have adopted the same mentality of competition. Too many churches and pastors see themselves competing with other people, and too many Christians view church business meetings as forums for competition rather than opportunities for unity. James teaches us, then, that number one, the pursuit of pleasure produces selfishness. Number two, the pursuit of pleasure produces frustration. And number three, the pursuit of pleasure produces hostility. Finally, number four, the pursuit of pleasure produces, in the end, poverty. It produces poverty, verses 2 and 3. Now, I'm not talking about general economic theories here. I am speaking about the haves and the have-nots within the church community, the community of faith. The church becomes impoverished spiritually, practically, and financially because Christians pursue pleasure. We become self-centered in our attitudes instead of God-centered in our goals. We have the gimmies, grabbies, and graspies mentality, which impoverishes the church of Jesus Christ. James writes, "You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." There are two reasons for our poverty as Christians. First, we do not ask. Literally, the verse reads just like the King James Version translates it. You have not because you ask not. Some translations have inserted the word God here, interpreting the verse as a statement about prayer. Many commentators limit the expression to prayer. In other words, James is saying that we are impoverished as Christians because we do not ask God to meet our needs. We do not take our needs to God in prayer like we should. We fail to pray, so we become angry and bitter. However, the expression is deliberately broad, I think, to encompass prayer, yes, but also to include our requests to one another. The word God is not in this text. The word translated as ask here is also used for asking others, requesting from others for money or resources. We find that in Matthew 5, verse 42. This word can be used for seeking a loan from someone. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be characterized by sharing, so that everyone's needs are met. Paul instructed us in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 13 to 15, that we are to share according to what we have, not what we don't have. Our sharing is not for the ease of others, he wrote, and for your affliction, but by way of equality. Equality, at this present time your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. This is why most churches, of course, maintain funds to help people in need. We ought to be able to ask each other for help. That's how the church should operate. However, often our pride gets in the way and we just don't ask. James says, look, don't get bitter and angry and frustrated if you never humble yourself to ask for help from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Christians are not mind readers, after all. So the first reason for our poverty is that we do not ask for help. The second reason is that we ask with the wrong motives. James says in verse 3, you ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. We're back to that word. When we do swallow our pride and ask for help, we ask for the wrong reasons. It is possible to ask for good and legitimate needs for the wrong reasons. James tells us that we ask illegitimately when we ask for things to spend freely on ourselves and our pleasures. When we ask so that we can consume it on our cravings, then we ask illegitimately. The word was used of the prodigal son, who asked his father for his inheritance only to waste it all on the pursuit of pleasure. Once again, this certainly includes prayer. When we go to God and ask him for something and he doesn't do what we want him to do, we become frustrated and bitter. However, my friends, God is never obligated to give us what we ask for when we have wasted the resources he has already given to us. If we put ourselves in a position to have a true need, but we did it by spending what God gave us on frivolous things, God may not meet our need. God might say, I already gave you what you needed, and you wasted it. Some of us pray like one writer prayed, Lord, if you can't make me thin, then make my friends fat. Well, God is never obligated to answer prayers like that. However, James is talking about more than prayer here. He is deliberately broad in his statement to include our horizontal relationships as well, our relationships with one another in the body of Christ, in the church. One major source of conflict in the church is when people who have little expect help from others, but they expect it so they can consume it for their own pleasures. So a person buys a giant screen television and then asks the church for money to help buy groceries. They spent their grocery money on the television. Or someone takes his family on an expensive vacation and then asks for help in paying the rent because he can't afford it. No wonder there is conflict in the church when people do these things. Our pursuit of pleasure produces poverty. If you think these things never happen in a church, you are being very naive. I spent 45 years preaching and leading church ministries, and I've seen it happen frequently. It invariably produces hard feelings among Christians. I've watched people refuse to purchase health insurance so that they could buy a nicer car, and then they expect the church to fund their hospital bills when they have a need. I've seen some on government welfare programs milk the system, so to speak, of both church and state. I know of one businessman who told me that some employers try to incite their sales staff to get into debt so that they will work harder and longer for their commissions. Well, we as a church help no one in those kinds of situations just by giving them money. The best help we can give is credit counseling to help them get their lives back in order. Financial aid tied to credit counseling is a good option for helping people in debt. I'm convinced that most Christians will genuinely respond to real needs, but are suspicious today because the asking has been all too often with the wrong motives, just as James tells us. Asking with the wrong motives leads to conflict in the church. So, how can we minimize such conflict? First, those who have need to share. Those who have need to share. We can do this by giving personally to meet needs or by giving to the church fund that all churches set up to meet the needs of people. Churches distribute the money to people in need, but it is controlled sufficiently so that you can know that it is going to help people with real needs. So first, those who have need to share, but second, those who don't have need to ask for help. In asking for help, however, people must understand that the best help may be connected to lifestyle counseling. Churches should set up counseling that will help people get out of debt, for example, while meeting their current needs, and this will minimize conflict among Christians. Many of our conflicts in church and in society start with hard feelings between the haves and the have-nots. The haves pursue pleasure at the expense of sharing with the have-nots. The have-nots become jealous that they do not have what the haves have. James is a very practical book. He gets right to the heart of these kinds of conflicts. The pursuit of pleasure is a source of strife, of conflict. Why? Because, first, it produces selfishness. We want what we do not have. Second, it produces frustration. We're frustrated when we don't get what we want. Third, it produces hostility. We take out our frustrations on others. And fourth, it produces poverty. We are impoverished by the hostility among Christians. My friends, we are all part of the mad rush toward pleasure. It's human nature. Much of our conflict stems from inner turmoil and anxiety about our cravings. We claim to have faith in God to provide what we need, but we deny that claim by our pursuit of pleasure apart from God. We aren't content with what God gives to us. We become so filled with our internal wars about what we want that it spills out into fighting with others. My friends, it is not a pretty picture of ourselves and our churches that James is painting here. Sadly, it is too often a true picture of who we are. The next time we get into an argument with another person, think about the source of that argument. Think about why you are arguing, why I am arguing. Why do I feel the way I do? Why do you feel the way you do? Is the desire for what we want causing us to fight with those we love?